James writes in James 1, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Heavenly Father, we pray for your help now as we listen to your word. Help us not just to listen. Help us to do what you tell us. Help us to understand what you tell us and put it into practice in our lives. Now, please help me to communicate it faithfully so that we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read you verse 3. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Something we're going to find out about today is hard work. Okay, are you ready for that? Are you ready to put some energy in, some effort into something about following Jesus? As human beings, we share with everyone else on this planet a natural tendency to want to kind of break things up. It's a tragic thing. It's part of our humanness. We've seen our country massively, haven't we? People voting to exit the EU, but not just the Brexit referendum, but also the Scottish independence referendum, people in Wales talking about being independent. There's a great human desire to break things up, to separate and split, but not just in politics, in relationships as well. People aren't used to having to work at things, and you do have to work at relationships, don't you? Friendships, working relationships at work, and marriages. It's tragic, the number of funerals I've done where you talk to the family and there's a feud in the family. One brother won't talk to another, or there are cousins who haven't spoken for 20 years or something. And this is so often the case. There's a natural tendency in us to want to break things up, and it's deeply sad and tragic. And it happens in churches too. It happens amongst Christians. We're not free from this infection. Claire and I used to live in Chesham for a while when I was a curate. And Chesham had loads of churches. Only 20,000 people lived there. There were about 25 churches there. Was it because it had a great Christian history? Well, it did have an important place in the non-conformist era when that was all kicking off, the Baptist churches. But the main reason there were so many churches, because they kept splitting. They kept dividing. Steeply sad history. And so we have this tendency to break up. And not just politics, not just relationships, not just churches, but you and me, we have this tendency as well inside us. We're not immune from this. Your personality and my personality, we've got traits in us, things that we do, ways we behave and think that actually break and damage relationships, bit by bit maybe. Maybe we're... Are you perhaps resistant to change? Do you like things being done a certain way? Do you get impatient with people? Do we know we're right and other people are wrong? Yeah? We're all like it, aren't we? And all these things lead to relationships breaking up. Well, Paul urges the Christians in Ephesus, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What is this unity? And can we do it? Can we keep this unity? Can we go against the trend of breaking up? We're starting a new section in Ephesians. So that's my second heading there. A new section, live worthy lives. Live worthy lives. Let me read verse 1 of this chapter. As a prisoner for the Lord, remember Paul is in prison when he's writing, and we heard that back at the beginning of chapter 3 as well. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Starting a new section in the book, he's told us all about the calling that Christians have received in the first part of the book, the first three chapters, the immense blessings we have in Jesus. And remember, just back to chapter 1, verse 3, he starts with a song almost. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we've enjoyed, haven't we, looking at those blessings over the last few weeks. That's the calling that someone who trusts in Christ is called to receive those things from Jesus. that things that Jesus, by dying on the cross and rising again, has obtained for us. Things that are out of God's grace, him giving us what we don't deserve. And having heard about that, now Paul says, Christians, live it out. Live it out. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Not that you're going to be worthy to get to heaven. Not that you can live a life in such a way that when your points are added up and your exam is marked at the end of the age, you'll be found successful with a gold star and everything and go to heaven. No, because that's why we need Jesus' death on the cross, because that'll never happen. But live a life that responds to what Jesus has done for you, that tries to live up to the value that he's given to you. I've told you before about how much I used to love wearing my British Airways uniform around the airport. And when you wear a British Airways uniform, you feel very smart and proud. But it does also mean, as you wear your British Airways uniform around the airport, it does mean that you've got to behave yourself. There's no point wearing a British Airways uniform around the airport, lolling around, untucking your shirt, swearing at passers-by, is there? What would that do to British Airways? You'll get a very bad reputation. No one will want to fly on your aeroplane. No, if you're smart and well-behaved, always with your shirt tucked in, polished shoes, people think, I want to fly with the world's favourite airline. And especially with that handsome young man over there. You have to live out something, don't you? And it's like that with the Christian life. We live a life worthy of the calling we've received. We want to honour Jesus with our lives, having been rescued by him. We want to be smart and polite, as it were, for him, and not just respond to all he's done by being scruffy and lounging around. One way of expressing this is to be what we are. To be what we are. And we are rescued, redeemed, risen with Christ. Those are things we've seen. These are part of our calling. Act like it. Live it out. Live as someone who's been rescued. Have you been forgiven from a certain sin? Live it out. Live as someone who's been rescued from that sin. Don't go back to it. Live worthy lives. Be what you are. And the next three chapters of Ephesians are going to be all on this theme. Just have a look at chapter 5 briefly. 5 verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. 5 verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of live as children of light. 5 verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, and so on. It's all in response to all that Jesus has done for us. Be what you are. Live worthy lives. And the particular thing in these few verses that follow now, in verses 2 to 6, the particular thing he's focusing on is this. Number one on the sheets, we've got there at last. Grow a uniting personality. I know that's not a very snappy title, but you'll see what I mean. Grow a uniting personality. If you take away nothing else this evening, a beautiful sunny evening, maybe with a slightly full tummy. If you take away nothing else, take away this. Christian, grow a uniting personality. In other words, change. Think about what your personality is like and change it so that more it leads to relationships being built and people being united around Jesus and the gospel. Don't be someone who causes breakup in church life. Do help Christians to stay friends with each other, whether that's you and another Christian or two other Christians you know, people who trust in Jesus. And he's got some great advice here. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. It's very simple, isn't it? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. These are characteristics of your personality that we can develop, each one of us. Be humble. Fred does really good intercessions in the church service. But he's always the first to encourage the other people who lead the prayers as well. And he never goes around bragging about it. Fred's humble. Be gentle. Anita is upset that Esme has broken the coffee machine 3 weeks running. But you'd never know the way she carefully shows Esme how to work it again. She's gentle. and eat as gentle. Be patient. Mark needs those figures for the church accounts, but he understands that Kevin the vicar is busy with his sermon, so he's happy to wait a few more days. And a few more days. And a few more days. He's patient. And at the end of verse 2, bearing with one another in love. Jim, the rector, has asked several times of people to join him for some door knocking with Christmas leaflets. Aren't they bothered about saving souls? But he doesn't let his frustration show. He bears with the other Christians. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. But David, it's not natural. I don't feel like that. I don't always want to be like that. Work at it. Paul says, doesn't he, in the next verse, make every effort. Here is something we've actually got to put some work in. It is what verse 1 looks like in this situation. That to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, thinking about relationships, this is what it looks like. To be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And working at it is vital because the unity that comes with it is vital. As we'll see now in verse 3. So grow a uniting personality because, over the page, my second point, and looking at verse 3. Because such unity is yours by the Spirit. Such unity is yours by the Spirit. In other words, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is something that we have got, that God has given to us by the Spirit. Verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, what is this unity of the Spirit? It's what we've got from Jesus, isn't it? From chapters 1 to 3. Have a look back to chapter 2, verse 14. Just the other side of the page. Talking about what Jesus has done by his death on the cross. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jew and Gentile, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. So he unites Jew and Gentile and takes us to God and unites us to God by the cross. It's unity, unity, unity. This is the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So when you come to Christ by God's work and the Spirit lives in you, this unity is yours. It's something that belongs to you and you belong to. Have you turned to Jesus? Then you have the Spirit and you are united with all other people who have turned to Jesus. So with this unity, there should be nothing to stop us working together to make Jesus known. Praying together, praising God together, meeting for meals, having friendship with each other. It all comes because Jesus has taken away anything that could divide us, humanly speaking, and spiritually speaking too. Think of a tennis doubles team. Doubles at Wimbledon, it's great fun to watch, isn't it? The way they work together so amazingly. Perfectly united. They seem to move at just the right time. And there's no point in one of them suddenly deciding, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to ignore my other team member. I'll stop looking at what they're doing and I'll do it myself. And I'll lean across them and all this sort of stuff. It just can't happen. They would soon be out of the tournament. Their aim is to win. And to win, they work together. And our aim, as people who trust in Jesus and honour Christ, is to honour Christ. We want to honour Christ in the world. We want others to know of him. And we work together for that to happen. We're united. We've got this unity of the Spirit. And Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What's the bond of peace? It's how we keep united. If there's peace between us, it makes a bond. How does the peace come? Two ways the peace comes. One, through what Jesus has done, which we've just heard about, his death on the cross. And the second way is through us, making every effort to be, verse 2, completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. That brings the peace as well. So there's peace because Jesus brings us together, and there's peace when we make every effort to live, to have our personalities changed like that. And that's what unity is. Put very simply, unity is being able to work together to make Jesus known. Now, what unity isn't, what is unity not? Well, it's not accepting false teaching. Someone comes along and says something about Jesus that is wrong, that isn't in the Bible. You might think, oh, well, we need to be united. Let's just keep accepting them. No, no, no. We can't accept someone who says, oh, Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. Or Jesus didn't die on the cross for God's wrath. We can't accept that. You can't be united with that. So unity isn't accepting false teaching. Nor is unity accepting immorality. We can't accept it if someone comes along and says, well, actually, no, the Bible is wrong about the way we should live, and I'm going to live another way. And the classic at the moment in our society is our human sexuality. And we can't accept it if someone wants us to accept immorality. We can't be united about that. That's not what unity is. And also, unity isn't us all being in one church. It's very possible for there to be two churches next door to each other in a town or area that are still united, but are still two different churches, because they can still find themselves alongside each other, working together to make Jesus known. And that's what unity is. It's being able to work together to make Jesus known, the Jesus that we've heard about in chapters 1 to 3, to make known what Jesus has done for us, those amazing blessings, to make known what we have by the Spirit. And we do this by, verse 2, being completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So grow a uniting personality, because such unity is yours by the Spirit. And because, next few verses, God has revealed one gospel. God has revealed one gospel. You might say only one gospel. There's only one version of everything God wants us to know. So all of that stuff in chapters 1, 2, 3 about what God has done for us in Christ by his grace, there's only one version of that. Verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. There's one version of the things God wants us to know. And these are the things that Paul teaches and that we've come to hear now as we read in the New Testament. And if someone teaches something different, if it's not one of those one things that Paul and the apostles have taught us, that we're not united with them. They're trying to do something else. And if someone follows the apostolic teaching, then we can be united together. It's a bit like chemistry. I don't know if you like chemistry at school. Do you remember indicators? You have a bit of paper and it's a light blue colour, and you pour some liquid on it, and if this piece of paper goes red, then that liquid is
acid.
Very good. And if it goes blue, it's alkali. Do you remember that? You probably hated it. Oh no. Well, imagine you turn up for your chemistry lesson, and the chemistry teacher says, oh, I'd like to sit on two sides of the class. Hands out the paper. And on this side of the class, if your piece of paper goes blue, it's an alkali. And on this side of the class, if your piece of paper goes blue, it's an acid. All right, okay. And you come back next time, you're sitting in a different place. And blue, yeah, it's just rubbish, isn't it? You can't have two different versions of chemistry. And they're not two different versions of what Jesus wants either. There's one version of everything God wants us to know. God has revealed one gospel. Verse 4, one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Any other version you're asked to follow, you can't be united with other believers if you do that. And this is why it's clear that other religions are wrong, and we can't unite with them. We can love them, and we can be their friends. We can support them if things are being difficult in the society in which they live. But we can't unite in worship and prayer. because they're following something that's wrong. It's not the one hope that we've been called to and that Paul has made known. Grow a uniting personality, because such unity is yours by the Spirit, because God has revealed one gospel. And so, back to the first point again, number four, grow a uniting personality. There's one gospel, that we've got this unity that we can have because we're in Jesus. What do? We work at being united. Andy Murray apparently, is a great role model to British tennis players. I heard this on a telly programme the other day. Tim Henman was praising Andy Murray because the dedication that Andy Murray puts in with his exercise regime, his diet and everything, it's a level above anything that the British men have known for a long time. And because they started to copy him, now they have started achieving things and achieving success, like with our Davis Cup team winning the Davis Cup and that kind of thing. Now, what does Paul say in verse 3 here? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's a kind of dedication and commitment to putting this into practice that we need. Not following Andy Murray, but following Paul and our Lord Jesus as our role models. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to work at our personality. Are you not humble? Do you like people to know that you're better than them? Well, you've got to work at it, haven't you? You've got to work at being humble. You've got to see the kind of things to do and say that stop that. That value other people better than we are. We value ourselves. Are you not gentle? Or do you not think before you speak? Or do you try to get your way, whatever happens? Well, maybe we do. We've got to work, see that and try and change. If we catch ourselves doing it, stop and try and make a different, do things a different way. Are you not patient? Do you get fed up with people really easily? Catch yourselves off. Make every effort. Do you not bear with people when they're being a bit of a pain? Do you write people off because you don't understand them? Do you not seek to understand them? Come on, guys. Let's work together. Let's bear with one another in love. Now, maybe we need, and we do need, don't we, to pray for the help of God, the Holy Spirit, for these characteristics, because they are Spirit-given, as He wants, and there's something that God wants to bring in us. He wants to change us too. Perhaps it's something that's worth asking a friend about. We have blind spots, don't we? We just don't know what we're like in this respect. Ask someone you value their opinion. Say, what am I like? Am I this verse here? Look, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. What am I like with that? Am I any good? And ask them to be honest. Maybe we've got blind spots. Grow a uniting personality. We started off, didn't we, thinking that all around us the world is got this tendency to divide and break up. And it's very sad, isn't it, when we see it in politics or when we see it in people's individual lives, but particularly in the church. And it doesn't have to be the case with us because of Jesus, because of what He's done for us. Paul writes, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that means growing a uniting personality, because this unity is ours by the Spirit, because God has revealed only one gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You that You have revealed one gospel. There's one Lord, one hope to which You've called us. Thank You for the wonders of all that we've seen of that in the last few weeks in the first chapters of Ephesians. So now please show us how to live lives worthy of that. Show us where we're not gentle or where we're not humble, not patient, where we don't bear with one another. And help us to change, Lord, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Help us to change our personalities and be more like Jesus, more like You. Help us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.